So we're still holding the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah. I just wanted to pick up on what seems to be an Agada to Gemara once again and show how not Agadic it actually is. So we have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, Maisa b'min echad. The top of Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara says there was a story with an Apikoros, Shahay Mitzar, the Rabbi Shuv ben Levi ben Mikros. He was driving Rabbi Shuv ben Levi crazy. He would always come and ask him questions and diyukim and psukim and what does this mean, what does that mean? So we have the Gemara in Brachos and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says that Bilam was Yodea Lachaminas Hashah Shakadosh Baruch Hu Zoim Mechol Yom. Bilam knew exactly the time when Hakadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every day. So too, the way Bilam wanted to be Mekalel in that very moment, so too this Rabbi Shimon Levi figured out exactly when the time is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and he decided, this guy's driving me crazy, I'm going to give him a klala at that time, and that's going to be the end of him. Turns out, Rabbi Shimon Levi falls asleep. So he had a grand plan, he's going to give him a klala, and he falls asleep. So he says, it's a simon min hashamayim, amar shma mina lav orech ara la soskein. It seems that the Rabbanu Shel Olam obviously is not happy with the plan that I have. I obviously shouldn't be going ahead and cursing him. Dechsiv, v'racham avak kol ma'asav. Hashem has rachmanus on everybody, even when someone's annoying, even when someone's a rasha, even when someone does something wrong. Uksiv gam enosh l'tzadik lo tov. For a tzadik to go ahead and administer punishment to other people in the world, it's not a right thing to do. So Tosus is bothered by the kasha. Tosus has two girsos, exactly what's the story here. But Tosus says, don't we know the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, chavavim and beis, that maridim v'lo malim. We have a din, that when you have somebody who's an apikoros, somebody who's a min, maridim v'lo malim, we do kill him. So what do you mean over here, that gam enosh l'tzadik lo tov? V'racham avak kol ma'asav, I've asked Tosus the kasha, what do you mean? How can you say it's not a good thing for me to do, if after all we know the Gemara says later, maridim v'lo malim, when you're dealing with these kinds of people. Explains it to us, says, what did Rabbi Shimon Levi mean when he said over here, lav horachara, it's not right for me to go ahead and punish this person? He says, Tosus says, the pshat is, ein roi lidchot bidei shamayim ulahanish misha einam rotzim lahanish, meaning, God runs the world. He'll decide whether he wants someone to die or someone to live. It's not your business to start getting involved and be matriach, so to speak, lidchot bidei shamayim, to go be matriach, the Rabbanu Shel Olam, to do more work than he has to, meaning, I decided I'm going to keep this many people alive today, and I'm going to keep this many people take their lives. The Rabbanu Shel Olam decides each and every day. And you're going ahead and playing with the plan. You're going ahead and you're going to outsmart him. You're going to go and make him be matriach himself more kaveyachol. And you're going to be dochek the shechina to take somebody else's life who wasn't supposed to die today. Says Tosus, that's Rabbi Shimon Levi meant. It's not right to do something like that. We find a similar story in Tainus Daf Chav Dalet. The Gemara has a story in Tainus Daf Chav Dalet about Rava. That Rava Ikla the Hagrunya, Rava goes to a certain town, Hagrunya, Bizman Shel Atzir Gesham. Rava goes at a time when there was a drought, there was a famine, there was nothing to eat, nothing to drink. So what does he do? Naturally, Gazer Tanisa. He goes ahead and he says, everyone should fast, I want everyone to be mispalel, I want everyone to make sure that we're going to be able to have rain. So everyone goes, and he sees that it doesn't work. The next day he says to them, did anyone have a dream last night? He tells them, extend the tainus another night, and he comes to Shachris the next morning, he says, did anyone have a dream? So the Gemara says, one of the community members, Rabbi Lezer Mehagronia, I'm not sure who he was, he says, yes, I had a dream last night, that the Ribbono Shel Olam came to me in a dream, and he said, ooh, Shalom Aleichem, Chashev Rosh Hashiva, special person, ooh, we love you so much. So says Rabbi, obviously God is trying to send us a message that he's very happy with you. So for you, it's a nice ratzon, so you should go ahead and daven that we should have rain. So that person goes ahead, and he davens, and all of a sudden a miracle happens, and the rain comes down right away. As a side, the Gemara says, Rava goes ahead, and there was a din Torah of some sort, and it turned out that somebody was chayiv malchus. So Rava goes ahead, and gives him malchus, and it turns out that he gave him malchus, and it was too severe. He didn't figure out clearly exactly how many malchus he was supposed to give. So he gave too many malchus, and the person ended up dying. So the government finds out about it. The Gemara says the government found out. They were angry. Rava, who do you think you are? You have the right to kill people? What right do you have to kill somebody? So the Gemara says that the Shavar Malka, the government, was very angry. They decided they're going to go after Rava. The mother of the governor says, what are you going to start up with this guy? This Rava, don't you know what happened? He came to the town. There was a drought. There was a famine. Nobody had anything to eat. And all of a sudden, he shows up, and the rain starts pouring down from the heavens. Don't start up with him. It's not a good idea. Says the governor, what's the big kunz? So he made rain come down. Now it's the rainy season. Of course it came down. Let's see, now that it's the season when the rain doesn't fall, it's a few months later already, let's see if he'll be able to do a miracle and get the rain to fall now. So the Gemara says Rava is scared for his life. So Rava goes ahead and he davens that he should have siyata d'shmai, that a miracle should happen, and that the rain should fall now when it's the dry season of the year, when the rain generally doesn't fall. And the Ribbono Shel Olam answers his tefillos, and all of a sudden it's raining, pouring cats and dogs, and everything gets flooded, all the rivers flood over, and the Shavar Malka realizes it's time for me to back off of Rava. Nice story. Says the Gemara. Postscript. Rava's father comes to him in a dream that night and he says, what are you doing? What are you asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to go ahead and do a miracle for you? And he says, it was a big mistake. And he says, Amar mi'ika de mitrach kamishmaya kulihai, you think you have the right to be matshriach, the Ribbono Shel Olam? He decided there are times in the year when he wants rain to come down. He decided there are times in the year when rain doesn't come down. And you're going and getting involved and playing with the system and telling him, oh, I want you to do a miracle for me today, even though rain wasn't supposed to come, I want it to come anyway. What right do you have? Who do you think you are? So the father says, I want you to go move out of your house for the night, go into Galus, go sleep somewhere else, and then tomorrow you can move back home. You should give yourself a little punishment. And the Gemara says that Rava, when he came back to his home the next day, after he went away for the night, it says, Ashkeche demarshim puriye besakini. He sees that his whole bed was full of stab marks, because obviously there were shadim or whatever it was came to his bed that night, and they were gonna try and punish him, they were gonna try and do something bad to him. And because his father came to him in Chalom the night before and told him to run away from the house, so he was saved. Says the Gemara, what you see from here is, we don't have a right to start playing around with the Ribbono Shel Olam's plan. You do what you're supposed to do, he'll do what he's supposed to do, and don't start being matriach the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so too the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Yotes, Choni Amagol, it says he was roi, really he should have gone into Chayrim for what he did. Who do you think you are? You're going to draw a circle and say, oh, I'm not leaving this circle until you do what I want. Who are you? You're Choni Amagol, I'm the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't get involved. So the Gemara says, really, since he tiach dvarim klapi maila, he did something that was slightly inappropriate, really he should have gone into Nazifa for that, really he should have gone into Nidui. In fact, the Magen Avram quotes from the Bach, the Magen Avram is in Simen Kuf Yud Zayin. So he writes as follows, Miu ki balti, Magen Avram says in the name of the Bach that they have a Kabbalah, Ti yesh li zar shalo lishol gishamim klal shalo bizman shetiknu chachamim. The chachamim have times in the year when you're supposed to ask for gishamim, the same talamater, and times in the year when you're not. So he says, what if you're in the time of the year where you think, well, Chazal were misakin to say the same talamater, but I want to say it anyway. Says the Magen Avram, we have a minig, we have a custom that you should not add it even in Shomei HaTfilah. Even though in Shomei HaTfilah a person's allowed to add whatever they want, Bakashas, Pratiyas, or Mutter, still says the Magen Avram, a person should be careful not to do that. Why? Because he says that this is the same as our Gemara, this is the same as being Matiach Dvarim Klapi Maila. This is like being Matriach the Ribbono Shel Olam, to try to do something that wasn't in the plan. Then he ends off a scary story. Shamati sheshnei gedolim horu lishol b'tzibur v'sein talamater b'shomei tefila. He says, we heard that there were two gedolei Yisrael who told their communities, well, it's the right time to ask for rain, even though Chazal weren't mesakin to ask for rain now. V'nesvu la'amam ba'osa hashana. And these two gedolim passed away in that year. V'talu hadavar al shehetrichu klapei shmai. And they attributed their early death, earlier than they expected to die, it was attributed to the fact that they went ahead and were matriach the Ribbono Shel Olam to do something that was not within the plan. It wasn't what was supposed to be, and they made him do it anyway. So this is a very interesting idea that we find, what Tosfos points out over here, that it's not so pasha just to start going and being mispala for a miracle, even if you're a big tzaddik, it's not so simple to do that. So let's look in Parsha Shemos. Pasuk says in Parsha Shmos by Moshe Rabbeinu, Halargeni ata omer, kasher harakta es ha-mitzri. Rashi says over there, what's the conversation between the Mitzri and Moshe Rabbeinu? Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu harag es ha-mitzri b'shem ha-mefarish. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead, he kills a Mitzri b'shem ha-mefarish, and the next day, there's some conversation, he sees two people fighting, two Jews fighting with each other, and they say, hey, we saw you yesterday kill the Mitzri, are you going to do the same thing to us? So Rashi says that you killed the Mitzri with a Shem HaMeforosh, and that's what it is, Hal Hargeni Ata Omer, meaning Amira, are you going to kill me the same way you used the Dibur yesterday to kill? So, why did he kill him? Why, in fact, did he kill the Mitzri? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that the reason why he went ahead and he killed the Mitzri is because, the Halacha is a Ben Noach Shehika Esa Yisrael Eschayiv Misa. So the Mitzri the day before went ahead and hit a Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu took the law into his own hands. He says, well, the halacha is, Ben Nachri, Ben Noach, Shehika, Se Yisrael, Chayiv Misa. So you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to kill him. The problem is, the Rambam writes, in Ilchus Malachim, when he talks about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, the Rambam writes, yes, Nachri, Shechava, Be Yisrael, Chayiv Misa, but he's only Chayiv Misa, B'dei Shemayim. So what right did Moshe Rabbeinu have to take the law into his own hands? He goes and he uses the Shem HaMeforesh, and all of a sudden he does magic and the person dies. What right did he have to do that? The Rambam says the halacha is, even though a Nachri is Chayiv Misa, if he's Chavav B'Yisrael, but that's only Misa B'Dei Shamayim. We don't have a right to take the law into our hands and kill him on our own. So the Biskirav suggests, well, this is why Moshe chose to kill him B'Shem HaMeforesh. That's like Misa B'Dei Shamayim. Meaning, I didn't really kill him, it wasn't my action. If I would have taken a gun, a sword, a spear, and I killed him on my own with my own two hands, so then you say, that's Misa B'Dei Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really have a right to do it. But Moshe Rabbeinu specifically invoked the idea of Shem HaMeforesh in order to kill him through that, so that it should be a quasi Misa B'Dei Shamayim. Fine, so this is the story. So the Bali HaTosis on Chumash asks the following question. What right did Moshe Rabbeinu have to be Matiach Klapi Shemaya, to be Matriach the Ribbono Shalom to do it? What right do you have? If he's Chai Misa B'Dei Shamayim, let him be Chai Misa B'Dei Shamayim. Let the Ribbono Shalom take care of it. What are you getting involved? You find all these Gemaras that tell us, we don't have a right to start getting involved in telling the Ribbono Shalom, do this, do that, use a Shem on the Forest. It's not right. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu go ahead and do it? So Bali HaTosis say no. The story is not as simple as you think. Yes, it's true, Ben Noach, Sheikah, Yisrael is only Chai Misa B'Dei Shamayim. And so you'll say, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu get involved? No. Over here, this person was also Baal Eish HaSish. Not only was he hitting in Yisrael, he was also Baal Eish HaSish. So a person who's Baal Eish HaSish, a Ben Noach, a Baal Eish HaSish, is Chayiv Misa B'Dei Adam. So Moshe Rabbeinu realized, well, he's really Chayiv Misa B'Dei Adam. Time for him to die. May as well take care of it easy, I'll get rid of him with Shem HaMeforesh. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu decided to do. But there's no kasha at all about a Shriach Klapi Shmaya, because when we talk about a Dvar Mitzvah, if the Mitzvah is to go and take somebody's life, he's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Adam, so then that's not called a tircha to the Ribbono Shel, and that was the plan. The plan is, if you violate this Isser, then you go ahead and you get Misa. I'll call upon him. When we talk about these kinds of methods of Misa, like our Gemara has, he wanted to curse the person, and that would have some magical power, and the Min would have passed away. Similarly, you have by Moshe Rabbeinu. He invokes the Shem on the Forosh, all of a sudden the Mitzri is gone. When you talk about these kinds of things, there's an interesting discussion in the poskim whether or not that's considered a real Misa Ritzicha or not. So the Achronim quote from the Halachas Ketanos, that the Halachas Ketanos was asked, what happens if somebody murders somebody else, are they Shem HaMeforesh or are they Kishuv? So he writes the following, Efshar, the Kivan de Bidibura Abin Maisa, while we find the concept, let's say, by Tmura, how is one in violation of the Isser of Tmura? Lo Yachlifenu V'lo Yamaro, so means I'm not allowed to switch the Behema A for Behema B, even if Behema A or Behema B are better in quality, still, the Gemara says, Exeris HaKasav, you're not allowed to switch a behema once you give it up to be for a carbon. So says Dalachas Ketanos. We find over there B'dibur Savin Maisa, the way to make a tmura is by speaking, by saying Hareze Tmura Zu. This is to stand in the place of the other carbon. So you find the concept in Halacha that sometimes speaking is considered a Maisa. So he says over here also, if by speaking out the Shem HaMeforesh, if by saying a Klala, I ended up killing this person, so that means, B'dibur Savin Maisa, it means I am in violation of the Isser Ritzicha, I actually did something wrong. That's what he writes. Then he says, Mali Harga B'cherev, Mali Harga B'cherev Ruchani. What's the difference if I kill him with an actual physical sword, or I kill him with my words, which is also a cherev? It's also a sword. If I know how to use the Shem HaMeforesh, I know how to do kishuv, magic, and I'm able to kill him that way, that's also a Maisa Ritzicha, so that's what he assumes. If in fact we assume that way, that that's correct, that it's called a Maisa Ritzicha when you do that, so then it turns out you have plenty of Amaram who are a violation of Ritzicha all the time. We have the Gemara says, Nasan ein above and Nasa gal shel atzamas. One of the Amaram looks at somebody else, and all of a sudden, the guy drops dead on the spot. The Gemara says, Shimon Yochai comes out, and he starts looking around after he comes out of the Ma'ara, and all of a sudden he's killing people left and right. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yonasan was Nasan ein of Vitamida. So what are you going to say? All these people were in violation of the Isser Ritzicha? How can you say these are Heliga Tanoim Amaraim? How can you say that that's the case? That's why many Acharonim disagree, and they say, no. If you don't do a Maisa Ritzicha B'Yadayim, that's not called a Maisa Ritzicha. You're invoking some magical, mystical powers. You're using Shem HaMeforesh. That's not called a Maisa Ritzicha. And even though we say B'Dibura Saben Maisa B'Tmura, that's because your words are actually causing it. But over here, my words are not really causing it. It's a very, very, very indirect cause. All I'm doing is I'm saying Shem HaMeforesh. Some miracle takes place. God listens to my prayers, and all of a sudden, God decides to kill the person. It's not me. By Tmura, my action, my word is considered B'diburus Havin Maisa. But over here, you can't say that that's really a direct correlation to the Ritzicha that took place. We already have an interesting discussion. The Rishonim talk, the Rosh has a Maseches Psachim, that on the last day that Moshe Rabbeinu passed, the last day of his life, when he passed away, it says that he wrote Yud Gimel Sifrei Torah. Now we know Moshe Rabbeinu died what day of the week? Shabbos. The reason why we say Tzidkascha on Shabbos is because Moshe Rabbeinu died. It's like a Tzidka Din, which is why I was a little surprised. Rabbi Billet asked me to speak this past Shabbos. I think the Rama says the minig is you're not supposed to say a Dvar Halacha mitim Mincha Ma'ariv. So I don't know what the practice is. Do they usually say Halacha or Agada? Depends. That's why I switched halfway through. I said a little Agada, a little Halacha, but I think the Rama says the overwhelming minig. Obviously, there are exceptions. If people don't have another time they can learn on Shabbos, and that's the time when we expect most people to come learn, okay, so it might be a different story. However, generally we assume that you're not supposed to be Koveya Talmud Torah Barabim Advar Halacha Mitim Mincha Ma'ariv on Shabbos afternoon. Why? Because we assume that's really a time of Avelis or Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's not proper. Beis Midrash Abotel, the same way if a Talmud Chacham dies, we say you should turn off the lights in his Beis Medrash for the day. So too when Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, who was the Rabban Shal Yisrael, we don't have a public shir. That's what the Rama says in Shulchan Aruch. My father told me once that he went to an OU convention many, many years ago, and they had asked him to give a halacha shir mitim mincha ma'ariv. So he called up the Julie Berman, I think at the time, he said was the person in charge of the convention. So he told him, well, you know, the minig is that we don't. So he said, I never heard of such a thing, you're making it up. So the only way that my father was able to convince him was, he said, so call the Rav. Because, you know, Julie Berman was a big chassid of the Rav, so he called up the Rav. The Rav said, of course, it says in Shulchan Aruch you're not allowed to. So he said, write the Rabbi Shechter would give a public discourse, which we would call a drasha, I guess. But I think the minig is that you generally don't. So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos afternoon. This is why we say Tzidkascha. This is also why we don't have a real public shir in halacha in between Mincha and Ma'ariv on Shabbos afternoon. If that's the case, ask the Rishonim, how can you say Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sifrei Torah the last day of his life? It was Shabbos, so what right did Moshe Rabbeinu have to write 13 Sifrei Torah on Shabbos? Astam. The Rishonim already bothered. How do you write 13 Sifrei Torah in one day? It's impossible. You can't even write a pair of tefillin in one day. How do you write one Sifrei Torah? So the Shalah is quoted in the Chassam Sefer in the Tshuva. The Shalah says, well, Moshe Rabbeinu did it ayidei hashba'as hakumus. It's impossible, it's physically impossible to ever write 13 Sifrei Torah in one day. It's not humanly possible. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu invoked some sort of magic, some sort of shame on the Forosh. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu did it ayidei hashba'as hakumus, which means he said some shame on the Forosh, and all of a sudden the pen just started writing. And now, poof, he had 13 Sifrei Torah, so that's not considered a violation of Malacha on Shabbos. What do you see? You see from the way that we showed him our understanding that wouldn't be a malacha b'Shabbos. Why? Because when you do something al derech hanes, it's not al pi derech hateva. It's not the normal way to write a Sefer Torah. All of a sudden you hold a pen and you say, you know, whatever it is, hocus pocus, and all of a sudden the pen starts writing 13 Sefer Torah. That's not considered ma'aseh ha'adam. The kasha I saw, one of the achronim has such an unbelievable kasha. He says, the Gemara says in Sukkah, Migu da habidofen le nitzuka, habidofen le nitzshabbos. We have a concept that even though we have different rules of defanos for a sukkah than we have for Shabbos, for an Eruv, when Shabbos and sukkahs come in confluence with each other, when they come together, we assume that the laws of sukkah and the laws of defanos for Shabbos will be one and the same. So he says, if you would hold that Moshe Rabbeinu's 13 Sifrei Torah are considered kashra Sifrei Torah, because obviously he wrote them and he gave them over to the Jewish people to use, so if they were considered kashra Sifrei Torah, even though they were written through magic, even though they were written through Hashba'as HaKumus, so then Migu Dehavi Ksiva L'Inyan Sefer Torah, once you assume that this is called a proper Ksiva, and this would be a kashra Sefer Torah, then Havi Ksiva Nami L'Inyan Shabbos. Then he should violate the Malach on Shabbos also. Mari Dika Kasha. Based on that Gemara and Sukkah, the Kasha is an unbelievable Kasha, yeah? Isn't that just a Kula? Doesn't go in both directions? I thought the Gemara says it goes both. I have to look again. I think the Gemara says it goes in both directions, the Kula and the Chumra. So if that's the case, then we should say over here also that Migu Dehavi Ksiva L'Inyan Sefer Torah, if we assume that it's a real Ksav, even though Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really write it with his own hand, so we should say it's a Ksiva for Shabbos and Moshe Rabbeinu was over Malacha. Okay, interesting Taina. Either way, we have another Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Aleph, where the Gemara says, Lochash in Lechishos Nechashim HaKravim B'Shabbos, which means, I have nechashim, I have snakes, scorpions, all dangerous animals running around my house, and I can't leave the house. So what do? I can't trap them on Shabbos, that's Malach HaTzedah. So you'll say, stay in the house on Shabbos. No. Says the Gemara, if I know some sort of black magic, I know how to do kishuv, so I'll say hocus pocus, and all of a sudden, the nechashim HaKravim are going to get stuck somewhere, and it's not going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, Beferish, so that's mutter. Mishnah Berurah talks, Api Alacha Shin Chav Ches, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Gemara. Mishnah Berurah says, why is it mutter? Even though now that I say the magic, the hocus pocus, all of a sudden, Now I was over on the Melech of Tzeda. Now the Nechashim HaKravim are stuck in a room somewhere. How did it happen? Obviously it happened because of what I did. Says the Mishabura, no. Mikol Makom Hal the Ainz Tzeda Tivis. It's not considered the normal way to do the Melech of Tzad. That's not Tzeda. So therefore, since I'm not doing it, I only invoke some magical, mystical powers. That's not called my Melech on Shabbos. So we assume that that would be Mutter. Now, that doesn't mean, Rabbi Asher Weiss, last time he was in New York, I was talking to him about this. I don't remember why. But, strange thing to talk about, but I can't remember why. So last time he was here, we were talking about it. So he said, don't make the mistake and think that the Mishnah Brura means it's mutter because it's considered a malacha kilachar yad. No, Mishnah Brura means it's mutter because it's not malacha tzeda at all. That's not called a tzeda. If you are not doing it, be a dayim, but Paul Mamish, that's not called a malacha at all. And he proved it from a Rashi in Sanhedrin, Samach Zayin. I never would have known this, but this was his raya. Of course, he knew it Baal Peh. As we were driving in the car, pretty amazing. So he said, let me be medayik from the Lashon of Rashi in Sanhedrin Samach Zayin. Should all be zachah. So Rashi says that you had Amaram who created a behema, they say for Yitzira. So Rashi says like this, this is not Baal Peh. Rashi says they created Sefer Yitzira, was able to create a behema. The ain kan mishum machshefo, so you'll say, what right do you have to go create Sefer Yitzira? You start creating behema, so you're going to say, why isn't that kishuv, isn't that black magic? What right do you have to do that? So he says, no. When you invoke the Sefer Yetzir, when you invoke all these kinds of powers, that's not my Maisa, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacting. That's not me doing anything. The only reason why the Behema comes out is not because you did anything, it's because you invoked the Shem HaMeforash, and the Ribbono Shel Olam responded. So Rabbi Asher proved from that you see when the Mishnah Brura says over here that you're not over Malacha of Tzeda, it's not because it's my Malacha and I'm not over because it's Kelach HaYad. No, that's not called a Malach of Tzeda at all. That's not a Maisa Malacha at all since it wasn't done via Dayim. There's more to talk about. The Bali HaTosis have on Chumash as well. We have by the Mon, V'haya b'yom ha-shishi v'yechinus asher yaviyu. Everyone had to prepare everything before. Now what exactly did it mean, v'yechinus asher yaviyu? So Pashtus meant, number one, you have to take double portion in from the Mon because Hayom lam simtu basada. You're not going to find man on Shabbos. The man wasn't going to fall, so we brought in two portions on Friday. But more than that, we say esa sher tofu ofu esa sher tavashelu bashelu. What you want to cook, you should cook. What you want to bake, you should bake. But everything should be done before Shabbos. Now, by the man, how did things get cooked and baked? How did things get cooked and baked? So we know by the man, you have to say, I want to taste like pizza. I want to taste like ice cream. The Medrash says, oh, all of a sudden it tastes like anything you want. So the kasha is frekta rishonim. Well, why couldn't they do that on Shabbos? Frekta Bali HaTosis. Why do you have to say, Esa Sher Tofu Ofu, Esa Sher Tevashelu Bashelu, everything should be done on Friday. What's the Malacha? You're just going to say, I want this month to taste like pizza. Poof, it's going to be pizza. So what's the Malacha? I didn't do anything. That's the same as doing the Malacha of Tzeda on Shabbos by just saying some Maisa, you know, Shem on the first, some Kishuf, whatever I'm going to do. That's not called my Malacha. That's like the Rashas, Hashbaz, Hakumas, Moshe Rabbeinu writes 13 Sefer Torah invoking Shem HaMeforash. That's not called a Malacha. So what's the problem over here? So you see the Rishonim hold, there are Rishonim who say, no, B'dibur Seven Maisa, just like by Ritzicha. Somehow, some Acharonim held that it's called a Maisa Ritzicha. If I go ahead and I do it, even though I only use Shem HaMeforash, it's not my Maisa at all. So too over here, we might assume that it's called B'dibur Seven Maisa. My father said he didn't think the Kasha was a Kasha in the first place. We talked about this in Parshas B'Shalach by that Pasuk. So he said the kasha wasn't a kasha. The pasuk says ubishlu baparur, which means you should cook it in a pot. So the psukim say clearly that they used to cook the man in a pot. So what does that mean? It means they cooked it in a pot. The only nace was you cook it in a pot and it turns out to be pizza, even though you didn't put the ingredients in, you don't know what you're doing. It came out anyway. But the pasuk says beferish, you should go and cook it in a pot. So that means esa sher tofu ofa esa sher tevashel bashel pasha de teres. The kasha doesn't start. Okay. Rav Kiv Eger has a suffix also in Shulchan Aruch. What's a din like this? We know the din is in the beginning of Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara says beferish that you're not allowed to have a sukkah l'mayla me'asher mama. So what happens if I have a sukkah l'mayla me'asher mama by mistake, and now I want to be memaided? So it says, okay, the Gemara says in Daf Zayin you should put a bima in the middle of the sukkah, put down a platform, and that will be memaied the space in between the schach and the floor. So we assume that that's not going to be a problem. That's what the Gemara says. What happens? I built my sukkah before Sukkot. Now, I didn't realize that it was the Ma'ala Me'asher Mama. Comes the first night of Sukkot and I realize, oy vey, the sukkah is the Ma'ala Me'asher Mama. What's going to be? Sukkah is the Ma'ala Me'asher Mama. I can't sit in it. So do I have a right to go ahead and put dirt in the floor of the sukkah and be mevatel that to the sukkah, be mevatel to the floor, that now that should be mamayit in the space between the schach and the floor. So this is a discussion in the Rebbe Kiva Eger, whether or not I'm allowed to be mevatel the afar on yamtif or not. Is that considered to be a malacha? How do we paskin? So the Shaar HaTzion discusses it as well. And the Shaar HaTzion quotes from Rabbeinu Manoach, this is in Hilchos Sukkah, the Shaar HaTzion writes that it's mutter. Why? Because all you do is bitul ayidei machshava. I don't need to say I'm being mevatel the dirt that I just put down on the floor. What's Rabbeinu Manoach saying? Since all you have to do is be mevatel b'machshava b'levad sagi, just by thinking about the fact that I'm mevatel it to the floor, that's good enough. So therefore, Rabbeinu Manoach is quoted in the Shaar HaTzion says, it wouldn't be a problem to be mevatel it on Yom Tov itself, because it's only b'machshava. What is the indication? What do you see? Had it been b'dibur, had you had to have been mevatel the offer with your words, I would have assumed that that would be considered a real malacha on Shabbos Yom Tov. Correct? All Rabbeinu Manoach is saying is, since it's good enough to be mevatel it with machshava, machshava is not considered a malach on Shabbos Yom Tov. However, if I would have had to be mevatel it bedibur, you can be medayik, Rabbeinu Manoach is saying, that would have been a problem. But there's an obvious difference between the two. No? There's an obvious difference between, that was what Rav Asher Weiss, I think, was proving from the fact that Rashi writes, Ze nasa yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a difference between when I do a dibur and I invoke the Ribbono Shel Olam Shem HaMeforesh to do something. That's not my maisa. Over here, when I'm mevatel my offer into the sukkah, it's not the Ribbono Shel Olam coming because I spoke, now the Ribbono Shel Olam is mevatel my offer. No, I was mevatel the offer with my dibur. My dibur caused something to happen. B'dibur is avad maisa. So we assume in a case like that, that that might be a malacha. That's what Rabbeinu Manoach means. It's not the same as our sugi. You can't just put everything together. It's not the same. It's very different. So there's a, just to close, in Parshas Vayakel, on that same conversation I had with Rav Asher Weiss, he pointed out this other point that he thought was an important point. I never thought of it. But it says in Parshas Vayakel that the Ribbono Shel Olam chose out somebody, Bezalel, who was going to go ahead and build a Mishkan. So what does it say? The Ribbono Shel Olam gives him all the tools. Otherwise, how do you choose somebody to build a Mishkan if he doesn't know what he's doing? So the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him extra brachas that he knows how to build a Mishkan. Says the Gemara in Brachas, what does it mean, Va'amalio? So I gave him all the tools to know how to do it. So Gemara says, Bezalel was such a super person, he knew how to be Mitzarev, Shemus HaKadoshim, Shabon Nivra Olam. Bezalel knew how to put together all the special Shemus Hashem, and that's how he was going to be able to build the Mishkan. So Rav Asher Weiss asked the following kasha. Such a geshmaka kasha. He said, I don't understand. Where do we learn out all the malachas of Shabbos from? Opinion on Mishkan. How did Bezalel create the Mishkan in the first place? With Shem HaMeforosh. If you're going to say that invoking Shem HaMeforosh to do a malacha on Shabbos is not called a malacha, then how do we know a mucker for any malacha on Shabbos? Right? The whole reason, Ba'amali Yosu Ruach HaLakim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled him up with some extra special power that he knew how to be Mitzarif the Shemus in order to build the Mishkan. So in Cain, you have a major problem. The whole source that we have for the Lamed Tes Avos Malachas is learned out from Binyan HaMishkan. If Binyan HaMishkan wasn't even done by Adayim because he did everything with Shem HaMeforosh, so then how do you explain, where do we know the Lamed Tes Malachas from, if in fact it's not a Malacha? Right? We paskin Lochash and Lechishos, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. You're allowed to say some Shem HaMeforosh in order to get rid of the Nechashim HaKravim outside of your house. The Mishnah Berurah writes, not that it's a Malacha Kelachar Yad, it's not a Malacha at all. Because if you invoke the Shem HaMeforosh, it's not called a Malacha. The Rush writes, Hashvas HaKulmus, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not called a Malacha on Shabbos. So in Cain, how do you learn out the malachas of Shabbos at all if everything was done al yidei the Shemus Hakdosh? It's an Eisen Akash. So Rav Asher Weiss told me perhaps the pshat is like this. He thought three answers. He said, number one, we have a Gemara in Shabbos Dafayin Dalar where the Gemara has an interesting halacha. The Gemara says that the women in the times of here Amar Ababa Barachana Amar Yochanan Hatavet Semer Shagabi Behema B'Shabbos. Let's say I go ahead, the sheep is full of wool, and I start being tovea the tzemer, I start spinning the wool on the sheep. So that's not the normal way to do it. Why? Because normally you shear the wool off the sheep, and then you go ahead and you spit it. So the Gemara says like this, what if I'm tovea tzemer shagav behem is Shabbos? Rabbi Rachana says, chayiv. That's called the malacha of tevia. However, the Gemara says, Rav Kahana Amar, ein zeder geziza. This is not the normal way that you deal with the shearing the wool of an animal, and this is not the normal way that you're toveah, so you won't be over a malacha. Says the Gemara, Aye. It says by the women of the in the times of the Mishkan that they were these very extra special people who knew how to do special malacha. And Rashi says from Chazal, what does it mean that they knew how to do extra special malacha? It means that they knew how to do the tviyas hachutim on the behemah itself. So the Gemara asks, don't you see that that is the normal way to do it? So the Gemara answers, yeah, you're right. They were extra special women who knew how to do special malacha. But for a normal person, this is not the normal way to do it. What do you see? So Rav Asher Weiss proved, what you see from there is, what we learn out, the malachas from the Lamatas Avos malachas that happened in the Mishkan, we don't care so much per se how exactly it ended up being done in the Mishkan. Oh, let's clear, was it done on the animal or did we already shear it off and only then we started to spin it? No, it doesn't make a difference. In the end of the day, they spun the wool, doesn't matter how it happened. That's what you see from the Gemara. They spun the wool, even though in the times of the Mishkan, they spun the wool while it was on the animal, still the Gemara assumes that nowadays, if we would spin the wool on top of the animal, that wouldn't be considered a malacha, even though then, that's the way they did it. What you see is that all we took from the malacha samishkan is the tzura of how things were done. The malacha that was accomplished, we don't look so much at the details of how it was performed. So to be said over here. You look at the way that Petzalel built the Mishkan. We don't care that he happened to have accomplished his goal by using Shem HaMeforish. Doesn't matter. In the end of the day, did he build a Mishkan, and this is what's normally used to build a Mishkan? Well, that's the way we're going to pattern our Malachas off the Lamentas. Malachas, the same as the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Ayin Dal. That was number one. Number two, he said, perhaps a Chiddush. He said, maybe you can say, what do you think? Betzalel used the Shem HaMeforish to go ahead and do the Harisha and the Zriya to do all those Malachas? No. He probably only used the Shem HaMeforish when he was building the Kalim. At the last stage, he had to figure out how to put everything together, so then that's when he used Shem HaMeforish. So he said, for all the months in advance that he was doing all the Harisha and the Zriya and the Trina and the everything else, Mistami didn't use Shem HaMeforish. That he used his own hands. So he said, Mistami, that's where we learn out the Lamatas Avos Malachas, because Betzalel didn't use Shem HaMeforish for everything that he did. He only used it for the last stage to figure out how to do the last parts, the finishing touches on the Mishkan. And number three, proof from a Rabban al Torah. We don't have time, we're over time already. We'll just close with this idea. Rav Asher suggested this is a whopper of a chiddush in my opinion, but who am I? So he suggested that maybe the difference is like this. Maybe Betzalel really built all the kelim. Betzalel did everything right. But he was medayik from Ramban on Chumash that perhaps when did Betzalel invoke the Shem HaMeforash? He did that in order to give special power and special kedusha to all the kelim of the Mishkan and all the edifice of the Mishkan after it was already built. Meaning he did everything normally. Only after he was finished and after he used his hands. What do you mean? The psukim say, "Va'amaliyoso ruach chachma." He had chachma to know how to do the tviya. He had chachma the Rebbeinu Shlom gave him to know how to do carpentry. To know why did he give it to him? Why did he give him the skills to know how to do all of that? And then on top of it, he also gave him the mystical powers of how to use Shemus HaMeforish. What did he need it for? Obviously, Rav Asher proved. Obviously, what you see from the pasuk is that he made all the kelim in a natural, normal way. He was a carpenter, he was in everything, he was an engineer, he knew how to do everything he had to do. After that, he used the Shem HaMeforish to give an extra special level of kedusha to the kelim that he had made. He wanted to infuse the Mishkan with the same kedusha that the Rebbeinu Shlom put into this world when he created it, the Shem HaMeforish. So too, he wanted to infuse his kelim and his Mishkan that he had created to have that as well. So perhaps with these, you can understand maybe that even though we normally assume when a person invokes the Shem HaMeforish, we wouldn't assume that that's considered Malacha B'Shabbos. And so too, perhaps we wouldn't assume that that's considered a Maisa Ritzicha B'Yadayim. It's not called my Maisa Ritzicha. I, B'Dibur Savin Maisa by Tmur, it doesn't matter. Over here, that's not my Maisa. When I'm doing Shem HaMeforish, that's the Ribbono Shel Olam acting out. It's not me acting. So too, over here, how are you going to explain how do we learn the Lamatas Malachas from Betzalel? The answer is, yes, Betzalel used Shem HaMeforish, but when and how did he use the Shem HaMeforish? So we have a couple of answers to explain that, but perhaps that's how we understand the origin of the Lamentas Malachas on Shabbos and why they're asked for us.